Sometimes it's a little jarring and nerve-wracking.
Yeah, I think all of it's a little jarring and nerve-wracking.
So, I mean, if you want to say your names or don't want to just, do you want to just say what's going on and why you're here?
We're specifically here. My daughter walked out of her high school today, so we're here to mainly back her up and those students, but also to keep ICE out of Reno.
I appreciate that. And how old's your daughter?
She is 17.
And then you have your young daughter here, too, learning about fighting for democracy.
I'm giving you guys one of these. Thank you.
Participating in democracy is important. And I saw you guys marching from down the street. Yes. I live just over there at the Riverside, so I was like, I'll be able to go down there and join them. And
cool.
Get a, we'll put this on the podcast, a little segment, a little political segment. Getting a lot of support down here for this. Yeah. I'm proud of young people, high schoolers, doing their thing today. I turned off all my social medias today, not buying
too.
Nothing.
Yep.
Just
I kept her out of
home.
School for that reason. Yep.
Very cool.
Yep.
Well,
doing what
just,
I can.
You want me what?
Doing what I can.
Yeah, we got to come together. That's the thing.
Yep.
Not be afraid to talk to each other.
Absolutely.
Well, I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
I'm Nick with The Worst Little Podcast, and thanks for talking to us.
Of course, thank you.
All right, it's Nick again down on the corner of Virginia and First Street, Reno, Nevada, at the high school walkout protest. Why are you two here?
I'm just here because it's the right thing to do. If you don't have a cause that you're willing to stand up for, you don't really live for much in this life. So you have to be willing to act on what you say that you believe in. Otherwise, you're just saying stuff, and that doesn't do anything for anybody.
I hear you. Yeah, action.
I'm out here because, one, it directly affects all this ICE and everything going on. You know, my bloodline, my family, friends, our community. My nieces are half Mexican themselves, and I just want to let them know that, you know, starting now at a young age, seeing support, all the people around them, what they could do to make a difference, what we could all do to make a difference.
Exactly. Come together and do some action. Take that action, you know? Go on a walk with your friends, the friends you haven't met yet.
Exactly.
You know, we're here for the same thing. That means you're my friend. You know what I mean? I appreciate you guys doing what you're doing.
Of course.
And thanks for being on the worst little podcast in the world. Any last words?
No. Well, thank you, Nick, for being out here as well and, you know, showing out for the community and being a big support as well.
My pleasure. I'm proud of you guys. All right. It's Nick again back at the corner of Virginia and First, Reno, at the high school walkout. Why are you two here?
Well, first of all, I think it's absolute bullshit, just the things that ICE is doing in our country, taking 5-year-olds from their schools, 17-year-olds, teenagers, elementary schools in general. I think it's absolutely sick to think that you can go to school, someplace that's supposed to be a safe haven, where you're supposed to talk to your teachers and open up to them, and be scared to go to that environment because you're scared either you will be taken or your family will be detained and possibly raped or killed in the ICE custody.
I think kids should not be torn away from their families, kept in cages. In Dilley right now, there are so many children kept in cages. Their families torn apart. This isn't America. This isn't what we stand for. Trump should not have the power to do this. Kids and families should not be torn apart because of their DNA.
Amen, and thank you for being here. We appreciate it. All right, Nick here with Sam from Coffee and Comics, helping this... absolutely packed Believe Plaza.
Yeah.
The space well.
All these kids out here.
Kids walking out of school today. Oh, my God.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on today?
I'm glad that these kids are showing up. I mean, we're here to kind of help out and give people a chance to speak their voices. And that's what we want to do, is allow people to speak, be heard, and feel seen.
Yeah. It's definitely... counter to the anger we all feel. It's like, here
exactly.
We are together, Because yeah, at home in our little bubbles, if you're not for this,
guys,
don't bum rush the show. Easy, easy, easy. All right. I hope there's no Royal Rumble here. Jeez, please.
We'll see.
Well, I just want to say thank you for coming down and providing. And I'm proud of these kids, too.
Yeah.
All right, Sam, any last thoughts?
No. Thank these kids for showing up. And, yeah, we have all a voice, and we need to use it.
Amen.
The Atomics, as produced by tonight's guest, Vince Gates, on the Worst Little Podcast.
Who wants to be famous?
Torino, the biggest little city in the world, the American cradle of liberty.
Look at you! You're a freak!
What are we alive for, except to grab all the kicks we can? Contaminate our society.
Now being renovated.
Uncle Nick.
Podcasting live from the recent past in the Dogwater Studios, high above the UNR campus, and the rockin'est little town in the known universe. It is the Worst Little Podcast, and I'm your host, Nick Ramirez, here with my good friends Chewbacca, Patrick. We got Dogwater Dick in the back. And we got the legend, Vince Gates.
On the Worst Little Podcast, we're talking out of our ass.
Oh, and is it a good week to point out that Carson City is also the rockin'est town in Northern Nevada?
Well, it's the rockin'est town in Carson City County.
God, we start Vince's show by shit-talking like that?
No, I mean, it is.
I mean, that is true. That is true. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
I love Carson.
It is 100% true.
Carson's a classic in its own right.
we took a month off or something? We came back. We did a show. We did another show, and then we took another week off.
Yeah.
And I'm out of shape because I had some cool shit to say, and I just went blank.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, are you feeling better?
So I just can't, you know. Yeah. I freeballed that one. But.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm feeling much better. Yeah. Yeah, I think it was like a food poisoning type situation because, like, all day long I was fine. And then it just kicked my ass at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And then on Sunday, and then Monday I was like, fuck, no, yeah. I don't think I'm going to make it. So,
That's why we had no show last week. And it wasn't just you, everybody was sick, right?
Was there other sickies?
Yeah, Kim was sick.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling it. I was just like not feeling it.
Like, can't do it. Can't do it this week. Well, which was sad.
Well, we'll postpone it for
a one of the band members was sick too.
Oh, that's
right. Yes, that's also true. So, yeah.
Well, we're going to patch them in soon though.
Yeah, President's Day.
Yep.
Yep. We were going to take it off, but we're not going to now.
I'm still going to take it off because I respect the president.
The rest of us will not be here.
Make the band be part of our big President's Day spectacular.
Do you mean this president in particular?
No, I meant the office.
In general.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, the office of the
president. It is a great office.
It's fine.
Yeah. So, I'm pretty stoked about the guest. So, I wanted to book Vince because this show sometimes is a little bit of a history project.
It's true.
And who better to help tell that than someone that's been, you know, engineering and producing in Reno for how long was it? Or around Reno, in Carson, Reno, that type of thing.
Northern Nevada.
Yeah, Northern Nevada.
Well, I started recording other people in the mid 1990s.
Okay.
Damn. Okay.
And about the first song we heard,
the
Atomics. What's going on
the
with
Atomics?
That
was a fun record.
I'd like to point out Chewy, I think, is wearing an Atomics shirt.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, rad! Synchronicity.
Yep.
We didn't do that on purpose.
That's so many years ago.
That record we did at Sierra Sonics. And it was the first and the last session that I was ever in charge of it at Sierra Sonics.
And Sierra Sonics was also known as
Granny's House.
And so anybody who's been by Mount Rose and Plumas, that giant old house, that rambling looking cool mansion thing, used to have a great recording studio in the back of it.
Yeah, that's in my neighborhood. I learned about this morning that used to be a studio.
Oh, really?
I had no fucking idea.
Yeah, that was
a lot.
That's two blocks away from my house.
Some serious cool major records were done there.
Happened there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So why was it the first and only? Did something bad happen?
Oh, no, nothing bad happened. Okay.
It slowly dissolved. My friend who bought some of the last equipment was like, a bunch of stuff just kept coming up missing.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody here ever steal anything from Sierra Sonics?
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I never did. I broke a mirror in there one time.
There's a lot of broken mirrors in the late 90s.
I didn't break it. My client broke it, knocked over a mic stand, and went into a mirror.
Oh,
yeah.
What kind of mic was on the mic stand?
A U-47.
Oh,
yeah. What genre?
That was more expensive than that mirror.
What band was that? That was the Smoking Caterpillars.
Oh, they're like hippies, right?
Kind of
like psychedelic.
Were they high?
Yeah,
were they ever not high?
Rock.
Yeah, were they having a bad trip and just freaked out when they saw their own reflection and broke the mirror?
So the intro to that is two runs through the guitar line.
Yeah.
And we punched in right in the middle of it into the second phrase. And the remote control for the Studer, the record button would fly off. If you punched it in hard, it would fly off over your shoulder.
Oh, my God.
I remember that happened. That's my Martin, my Martin guitar.
Nice.
George played that on that recording.
That's
a good one.
Sounds so good. Yeah.
So it's in a movie.
Yeah. You did. Yeah. So right as that song was getting going, Nick mentioned that the Atomic song that you guys just heard was at the very end of Nowhere Nevada.
Yeah. It's the last song we hear in the entire movie. Yeah. The end of that song is the last note.
It's my guitar.
Did you know that it was in the movie?
Yeah. I'd heard that. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we use several Atomic songs.
Yeah.
They are pretty cinematic band. Like, you can use them for shots really, really well.
One of the best live bands in Reno history, for sure.
Yeah.
They've got... Nice. We
partied.
We did four songs a few years ago, and We're waiting on them to release them. Hopefully they'll get released at some point.
Is Slovenly going to sponsor that or do that? Or are they doing it independent?
I don't know. Slovenly? They're probably
on that label. Yeah,
they probably have a good relationship with Pete still.
Yeah.
Well, the Atomics were here about 6 or 7 years ago, maybe, right? And
yeah.
Remember, they were saying that they were going to start working on writing and recording some more stuff. But they were here. It was my wife's birthday. Remember that?
Oh, that's how you know.
Yep.
But you don't remember how old she was.
She was probably in her 30s, maybe. I can't remember.
Yes. Well, one of our favorites, man. What a way to kick off the episode.
Yep. I was just at Stephen Larkin's house before I came here, dropping off a couple of amplifiers for him to fix.
And doesn't he have that, like one of those boards or?
Yeah, he's got that Studer. I don't know what his mixer story is. He's got a big mixer in there. Might have come from Granny's. It's not the SSL G series that we were
I think
using.
It was the one from like Studio C there or something. Right? Oh, okay. Wasn't there a, I could be upstairs. Wrong. I'm talking out my ass.
Studio B. Probably.
Or yeah.
Did you spend any time there, Rick?
No, never. I did go inside of it one time after it was already like almost closed. And I knew a guy who was doing a session there and I got to just go inside and he turned up a thing that he was working on and I sat in front of NS10s for the first time in my life and just like cranked knobs until it sounded terrible.
That's magic.
I know. And he's like, these EQs are great. And I'm all, let me twist it. And then it made it sound really, really bad. So everybody always says those NS10s sound terrible and that's what's great about them. And I wanted to hear what that was like.
Yeah, everybody should learn that.
Right.
So. It's a good skill.
I think the only time I set foot in that building at Granny's and Sierra Sonics is when Fat Couch was recording there. I brought some chicken wings to him for Frescos.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
We were in Studio A for that one. We were in the big room. That was fucking cool.
Yep.
Recording to tape, like 4-inch tape. And
Yeah, that record came out sounding great too. Very good quality.
Yeah, it's still pretty rich sounding. Yeah. And it doesn't sound ancient or nothing. It sounds like it could have been music created lately, you know, I think, but, and then me, Matt and Steve did solo stuff up in Studio B, and then Source also recorded the album in Studio B.
That's another good album. I only have that on cassette though. Do you have a good quality recording of Source?
I think I had a DVD, but it's probably pretty scratched up.
Yeah, 10-4.
What's your wife's birthday, Chewy?
April 29th.
Oh.
What's your social security number?
Yeah.
Hold on. You have to think about that one.
The Atomics were put up on May 3rd, 2019 on there the podcast.
Oh, wow. So 7 years ago.
So it is season 9, episode 10. Yep. If anybody want to check that out.
Yeah.
Release those songs.
Yeah, I know.
That'd be rad.
I think I know one of their son-in-laws. I'll pass a message covertly.
Right.
Some behind-the-scenes shit right there.
If we could get an Atomic show and like a fun party for a release of something like that, that'd be really great.
I mean, with all the crap going on, wouldn't that be fucking amazing?
Yeah, that would feel like a breath of fresh air.
All right, what should we do next? What do you got next?
Yeah, what's the next track?
Oh, I don't know. Let's hear that. Let's hear that Crush Story song.
Yeah.
was rad.
That was fucking great.
So when was that, and how what was that in relationship to the last track?
So that was in this kind of a similar time period. It was around 2001, I think we did that.
Yeah, it's not great.
So that was a fun recording session. We did three songs on that recording session, and we did them at the Ryland House. Anyone
are you
know?
Talking about the red, like the one where Pete lived, the original one?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody explain what that is.
So
it was right there by the liquor store across the street, on Ryland and Wheeler. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, right on the corner, yep.
So funny story, Carolyn and I lived there when Shaolin was born.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And when we had a second kid on the way, we needed to get into a bigger place, so we moved out of there, and then Pete and Zach moved in and turned it into the legendary Ryland House.
Yeah, they used to get some really good shit there. Yeah.
And there were like killer shows, and was it like a big basement setup?
Yep.
And that's where all the, and so it was the same area that you were recording in. They were just like, since we can already have a band here, let's have shows.
They were moving out. They were moving out of the place, and they had it mostly cleared out. And I brought in my Fostex 16 track and a mixer and S10s and set it up in the master bedroom. We ran a snake around the corner and down the stairs, and we did drums downstairs and guitars downstairs.
Oh my God, those Fostex boards were such a pain in the ass. So it's those digital recorders that you could do at each separate channel and
reel to reel.
Oh, reel to reel. Oh, yeah. Jesus, I'm thinking of a completely different thing. Yeah. Those awful digital ones that like had the itty bitty screen.
They wanted to be an ADAT.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was like, and you had this little like 2-inch screen that you would do everything on.
Right. I never worked with one of those.
Oh, that was a nightmare. I still have one in the garage. If you ever want to check it out.
you should leave it there.
Right.
So, okay, so but you had already lived at that house, so you came to track that record. And it was like coming home.
It was very nostalgic.
Yeah, cool.
Being, you know, having the control room set up in the master bedroom that I used to live in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun.
It never ceases to amaze me how small Reno is sometimes.
Yeah, and it was even like smaller back then. That was probably 95, I think, when 94, 95 when I was going to shows there. Yeah.
Was that whole thing done basically kind of live, or was it more like tracking it bit by bit?
I think it was, it was mostly multi-tracked. It was mostly punched in.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking that was rad. Fun.
It sounded like cool and fun and like fucking.
Jen Scafidi playing bass.
That's what I was going to ask you. Is that when Jen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, I saw her play with the Narcissistic Freds there, maybe, I think, in that basement one time.
I don't believe I knew her yet when she was in that band. I hadn't met her, but I thought that was a funny ass name on a flyer. Narcissistic.
Yeah, they had it. Pete used to put out the BG Biweekly. It was a biweekly zine that he was putting out, like a 4-page thing. And I remember Narcissistic Freds had an episode or a issue. That was a good thing. Wish I could get a hand on those.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. If anybody has any of those.
Pete's in Italy or something. Every time I've seen him over the last 25 years, I forget to ask him.
Yeah.
I got some old BG biweeklies, but they're like, you know, buried in the closet.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
It would take
Scafidi told me she had a whole bunch of them, but she didn't know where they were. And if she ever found them, she'd give them to me. But that was, she probably has never found them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If we ever clean out the closet, you know, I will run across them and be like, pull those out for Chewbacca. Any archive shit, I'll pull it out for you to see if you have it or not.
Perfect.
If it really means something to me, I'll make a copy for you. But if it don't, I'll just give you the shit too. Be like, give it to the guy who collects it.
Yeah,
you know.
Nice.
So Vince, how did you get started producing and engineering?
I got my first 4-track when I was 16.
It
was
shit!
Yamaha 4-track. And
were you in a band?
No, not really. I played with some friends
here
and there, friends and neighbors, and but I wrote silly songs and
cool.
And what was your instruments initially?
Guitar.
Just guitar.
Guitar and then bass eventually.
Which do you dig jamming on more?
I play guitar more than anything.
Okay.
I hardly pick up the bass unless I'm rehearsing for the Pink Floyd show.
Well, man, we got to say we had Ivan on
Yeah.
recently, and homie is...
He's a bass player.
Such a good bass player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
He told me to ask you how to pronounce Moog.
Moog.
Okay.
Moog. I said Moog for 20 years.
Okay.
And until it was established that I was wrong.
Okay. Is that Dutch or something?
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, thanks, Ivan.
That was German?
It's definitely European.
Yeah, I always said Moog too.
Yeah,
until today. I did, and now I'm not going to say
that. I
did
too anymore. Until someone corrected me. So
you mean Moog, bro?
Yeah. Moog?
Philistine.
Yeah.
Just by accent. Yeah.
So what's the next song?
I don't know. What is the next song? Let's see.
You, like Rick and Tom Gordon, have recorded with everyone. So.
But you and Tom have been doing it way longer than I have.
Well, there's this band, there's this Carson band called Broken Salvation that we had a lot of fun. Did a couple of, Broken Salvation, we did a record together, and then they did an instrumental record after that without the singer under the name Blorgalact. And that was it.
I've heard of them. Why have I heard of them? Was that on Tom's show?
They did. Oh, what was that show that they did in Tahoe? The guy at the studio in Tahoe did a show.
Shit.
They were on that.
I know. I've heard that name.
Yeah, Blorgalact, progressive metal. Yeah, Broken Salvation.
What year?
We were living. So we recorded this one in the basement of our house when we lived in Carson on Walker. So it had to be 2004, 2005.
Perfect. Yeah. All right, cool.
I'm still drunk at this point in my life. So, okay, here it is.
Same.
Those guys sounded like they were fun.
That was fucking, yeah, that was thrashy.
Yeah.
I'm glad it was metal, because when you said Broken Salvation, I was like, is this a Christian rock thing?
Yeah, no. I've done some of those.
Yeah?
Had a little bit of that.
Wow.
That was fun.
A little bit of that scary clown metal style. Or,
yeah.
I heard a little bit of Primus.
Yeah, a little
bungle. That's totally, yeah.
A little bit
yeah.
of Primus at the bass.
A little bit of Primus, yeah. Faith No More.
The War Maggots.
That's Danny Paul on the bass. Man, he's a killer player. Jim Gustafson on guitar, Mike Crabb on drums, and Phil Davies.
Those guys singing. Are Carson guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Cool.
Yeah. That was fun. That kick drum had a lot of slurp on it. Did you hear that? Sounded like we should put some more padding inside the drum.
Can you do that, Rick?
Some people like the kick drum.
Not now.
They got a filter for that or something.
Yeah. Is there a genre that you're like most like in your bag in that you're just like comfortable in, like, I could execute this?
Hard rock.
Hard rock?
Yeah.
I mean, that's where you say you're probably the most comfortable. You know what I mean? Okay. Mm-hmm. Is there any that you just hate doing?
I don't know. I've recorded country bands, even though I'm not a listener, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
But
that could be good sometimes.
I end up falling in love with whatever it is that's in the studio.
Yeah.
You know, I fall in love with the songs, and hopefully, I mean, it usually happens.
Right.
That I fall in love with whatever it is that I'm working on.
That's great.
Yeah. My metal friends will be like, I don't like that kind of metal. And I'm like, I don't even think about that. These are like people and their art in my house. Yeah. And I love it. And by the time I've heard of 50 songs, it's like classic rock to me.
Yeah, you spent a lot of time with it.
Settle in.
You guys have a very important job because, like, someone's coming to you with this, like, thing that's, like, living and alive and warm, you know.
It's a permanent record of their creation.
Capture it and set it in stone. You know what I mean? So.
And if you screw it up, then they'll listen to that album for the rest of their life and be like, I wish it could have been different.
Roll their eyes. Or, I wish I got my money back.
Yeah.
Or they really nailed what we are.
Yep.
So the first one of the first records I did for another band was Tasty Red Snapper's first record.
Oh yeah, I remember them. They're jam band, right?
That was a while ago.
They were pop. They were they had some bungle in them.
Oh no shit! I didn't know that.
Jim, the bass player, was slapped and popped a lot. And then they were a fun. They were a fun comedy rock band, kind of.
Mm-hmm. It's a cool name.
Yeah.
Did you bring any of that in?
No. Well, that's why we were talking about albums that suck. Well, it just the songs were good. It was just so poorly recorded.
Oh. But it was one of your first.
Yeah, it was my first time recording.
And what did you do wrong?
Everything.
Yay, everything, that's the best.
Just every conceivable thing. Let's see. The drummer wasn't he wasn't sure about how to tune his toms, so I helped him tune them, and they sounded like bongos when we were done.
Tune the fuck out of them.
And yeah, we just tuned the snare up way too high, and we were just using garbage microphones, and it was just the songs are fun to listen to, but the quality's pretty poor on that. So no, I didn't bring any of that. I've offered. I'm still friends with Ben Holzclaw, who sings with Faith Three No More.
Huh?
So I think everyone forgives me for it.
Yeah. So you're in Faith Three No More. Is the Floyd still going?
Yeah, we just played Elko last Saturday.
Oh wow.
Yeah, that's right. I tried to book it for January and said you got Floyd stuff going on.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you play in Elko?
There's a theater that they're calling the Community Center Theater that was built about 5 years ago.
It's
the high school.
Well, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's an 800-seat room.
That sounds good.
Gigantic stage.
Yeah. I bet they probably utilize that for the cowboy poetry. So they have some pretty big events out there
in
Elko.
Moving in the cowboy poetry as we were moving out.
Rad. That sounds like a cool room.
We got there, and our light guy got there 2 days before us to start setting up our lights, and they taped off, put X's on the stage where we were going to stand. And
nice.
Once we were standing on those X's, everybody was so far away. It was a giant stage.
You guys were way deep in the stage?
Yeah.
We were far away from each other?
Yeah, oh. Far away. Just it was just everybody was in their own kind of
spread
zone.
Out.
Yeah, huh.
I've always wondered what that's like. You know, I mean, especially with like
it feels cool for a minute, but then musical communication is compromised a little bit.
That's what I'd imagine. Used to it. Because if you look like the Ramones, like there used to be out. Like fucking like breathing on each other, but then by the time they got big, they're like 10, 20, 30 yards away from each other. You know what I mean? I'm wondering like how do they communicate? You know what I mean?
It complicates things.
Yeah.
You just feel cold and alone like Pluto.
I think by the time you hit the road, you know the song so well.
Yeah.
And then, and then by the time you're done with your tour, you know the song's fucking even better.
And you're probably just like, I don't even want to be near those guys anyways.
Yeah, that's true. They're probably like, the space is good. We like this better than fucking CBGBs.
I'm sick of smelling these guys.
Yeah, most bands have a smelly guy.
Don't even come fucking near me.
Right.
No, I saw the Floyd Project, like not last summer, the summer before that. It was great, dude. I saw the amphitheater
at Bartley Ranch.
Yeah. At sundown. Yeah, it was fucking great. Mm-hmm. And you guys did a bunch of Floyd songs. And then you took an intermission.
That's what we do.
And then he came back and you did Dark Side of the Moon front to back.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fucking great.
And the full moon came up behind.
Oh my God.
Yes. That's 100% what happened.
Dude, don't you wish you would have dropped acid for that?
Maybe in another life.
That's all right.
Yeah, no, that's a great show.
God. Thank you, Patrick.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
I'm just happy to.
Come to our next show, April 10th and 11th. We're playing in Carson City at the Community Center Theater.
Cool.
Very cool.
God, do you know how Elko got its name?
No.
I was just seeing if you knew. Thanks.
It's because somebody saw an elk there one time, and they're like, you know what? Let's call this place Elko.
That's one of the legends. The other legend is that it's Spanish for the co.
That's true.
the co.
Yep.
I guess we'll never know.
It's Spanish for Elko? Is that what you said?
It's Spanish for the co.
Locals out there, they'd be like, I'm from the co. So it kind of has brought it back full circle.
Yeah, and then because it's
We've translated it back to
Elko.
English.
Elktown.
Sorry.
Vince, what's the next song?
I totally stopped the show. I didn't mean to stop the show. I'm sorry.
So we're going to talk about the song after, huh?
Yeah. We got to keep it moving. Lots of music to cover.
Let's play Love Song by Bert Hazel.
Bert Hazel.
And don't tell anybody we're playing this.
Is it B-U-R-T or B-E-R-T?
B-E-R-T.
I could tell you how Oregon got its name.
Yeah?
It's really lame. It's because they got there and someone saw oregano growing.
Really?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Really, it's so dumb.
I never bothered to look that up.
I was fucking pissed when I found out.
That no wonder they say Oregon.
Yeah, Oregon's just Oregon. So unoriginal with their place naming. I mean, every town in Oregon's named after another
place. That's true.
Place, yeah.
That is
Albany.
So they would get mad if you said Oregon.
Yeah.
And that's really what it should be.
I think it should be oregano. I don't know why we lost the O.
Dropped the O. Well, and then with Elko, they added the O. Maybe that's where the Oregon O went.
Elko punked Oregon for their O.
Yep.
Went by train.
Totally. Okay, this is Love Song.
Nick's losing his fucking mind.
Tried to write a love song. It's something that I've been meaning to do. But it wouldn't be a love song. If I couldn't write it, I couldn't write it about you. And I was thinking about getting a real job, something that I could sink my teeth into. But that wouldn't be a love song. I couldn't write it, couldn't write it about you. I don't suppose you hear my heart Felt like this, I've never loved like this before. So I keep trying to write this love song, 'cause living without love is not easy to do. Everybody needs to love somebody. Baby, I love you. I don't suppose you hear my heart. As it's beating at your door. Everybody needs to love somebody. I never felt like this, I've never loved like this before. So I was thinking I got a real job.
Nice.
Yeah, that was a nice little song.
Dude, that was sweet.
That was lovely.
Were those like real ass flutes?
Yeah, that's my daughter Shaolin.
Oh, that was really? So cool sounding.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Ivan on the upright bass.
Oh, man.
Really? Yep.
That was rad. And I love that. I love weird voices.
What was the percussion sound that was here?
That was popping. I was playing the ping pong paddle.
Badass.
Yeah, I like the way everything kind of faded in.
God, that was awesome.
Without you really noticing. You
know, it's a record pop kind of sound at the beginning. That's a candle.
Oh, man. Cool.
I ended up recording this candle, and I would go to the circuit breaker and turn off the circuits that were buzzing and stuff, trying to get the place quiet enough to record a candle. But that's a candle. So that was Bert Hazel, and he was a guy that came into the music store one day, and he said that he'd heard that there was a recording studio here, and his doctor had given him like 3 to 6 months to live.
That's crazy.
And he wanted to get some songs recorded for posterity for his nephews and nieces. And we ended up working together for almost 2 years.
Wow!
Wow!
Brilliant!
Damn, that's amazing! And so that was really I love that song. That was really awesome.
Is that available?
I'm so
Is that
glad.
Published anywhere?
No. When he passed away, his family came into the store and demanded everything. And so I'm not supposed to have these. We finished 6 songs over the course of 2 years.
So we'll make sure that that's not even searchable. Then. So right. You're saying, yeah, got it.
But wow, that's amazing.
But
have we mentioned you had a store?
Yeah, let's give you some free
advertising. I mean, we've talked about it all these years, but just for the sake of like
our listeners, yeah.
Yeah, 18 years in Carson City.
And that's Play Your Own Music?
Play Your Own Music.
And Carson. We had a guest on here who told me a really fucking funny story. He's like, they were like super young. I'm not even sure they were out of high school yet. But they're in this metal band, and they went in to buy a cymbal from you. And they're trying to work a deal. And you're like, all right, kids, I'll give you $1 or 10 bucks an inch on this cymbal. Or something like that.
And it was the only way they had a cymbal is because you allowed them to get it.
Cool.
Yeah, which is great.
That's a great story.
I like giving deals when people deserve it.
Yeah.
Or need it.
Yeah,
or...
these kids are pretty earnest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, they weren't fucking
young
around.
Young people just
they
feeling
rock
their way
hard.
Through the music.
You know what happens if you don't let punk rock kids hit stuff? They'll end up hitting something else.
Yeah. They'll come back later. Yeah.
Right. So you better give them a cymbal.
So one of my favorite facts I heard about you, Vince, and this is going to sound a little inside baseball, so I want to explain it to the listeners, but mic placement when you're recording is a huge pain in the ass. You have to set a mic, you have to go back to your desk, you have to listen to it, you go, oh, this sounds like shit, and then you got to get up, you got to go back to the mic, you got to move it a half an inch, and repeat, rinse, repeat. Then someone knocks it, it sucks. So your solution was to, you put a microphone on a remote controlled car.
Yeah. Yeah. This remote controlled Hummer.
I knew you'd like that, Rick.
I bolted a mic holder to the top of it. And
that's so fucking brilliant.
Would just move it just very slightly until it sounded right.
That's some MacGyver shit.
That is truly like, that is a solution to a problem that every engineer has.
I've heard people talking about having like cabinets that were all mic'd in like a separate room somewhere where they could plug it into any cabinet. And then they wanted to be able to move the mics. And so they had motorized things that moved the mic in front of the speaker. But this sounds like a much cooler, easier way
DIY. Yeah, you just put it on a remote.
Yeah. Or you don't have to have anybody helping you either. You can just still be self-contained and do it yourself.
And then you go over to it, mark where it is, and put it on a still stand, or does it just stay on the remote
just
control?
Just stays on there. Yeah.
Cool. There it is. It's where it is.
The Hummer had a pretty good suspension, so.
Yeah, I guess it would have to.
That's hilarious.
That is so cool.
Before we get calls from angry Oregonians, I checked, and AI says you're wrong.
Okay.
Patrick, it says that it comes from, most people believe that it came from a term meaning beautiful river from the indigenous people of the area. And then your theory is listed in a section that says other historical theories that have been largely discredited.
Okay.
So it doesn't mean it's wrong.
Yeah,
I'm
happy to be wrong in this case because that was bullshit and I hated that.
Yeah. Okay.
Patrick is a true-born Oregonian, right?
Yeah.
You're from up there, so yeah. I trust your...
Yeah.
Saying that too.
And it didn't say it was wrong. It
so
just
the
said
historical record
largely
has been corrected to something more sensible. Than
yeah,
that,
that makes
good
more
news
sense
to me.
Yeah.
That's like all of us.
Because that's a stupid way to get a name.
It
right
is. That's like all of us learning how to say Moog.
I want a, you know what I mean? I want a t-shirt that says largely discredited.
Yeah. It was, that's a good does one. That mean. Smart, like a little bit credited, yeah, but yeah, largely discredited.
Like there's a little bit of credit still left lingering.
Take everything I say with a grain of salt.
Mostly.
There's like a sliver of credit holding it together.
Just a wee bit credit.
There's people like Patrick that are keeping it alive.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I am proud to be largely discredited today.
Man, that's a good band name, too.
Largely discredited, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Named after like a beautiful river or whatever you said.
Dude,
that
yeah
makes sense because Oregon's full of beautiful rivers.
It is
right
full of beautiful rivers.
And I don't remember ever having oregano up there.
Me right neither.
Does it even grow there?
I
we
might have
even
smoked
know
oregano up there.
Actually, I remember I might have bought some oregano from a guy.
Yeah,
from
a guy. I mean, I went to high school in
Old Town Portland one time.
Yeah. Can you get me some? Yeah, I'll be right back.
Vince, you ever smoked oregano?
Yeah, I think so.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
What was that? Parsley.
Italian seasonings was big.
None of it was
basil
cool, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, basil was hot for a minute there in my neighborhood.
I've had basil in a Bible page before.
Cool.
Nice. And also, I've done a line of nutmeg.
Oh, yeah.
I tried to smoke nutmeg.
I saw a guy do a line of Parmesan cheese one time at a cake party.
Oh, God. Oh, God. That's
a wait, a line of what?
Parmesan cheese.
I put a Starburst in a pipe once. That was terrible.
What? I saw a guy being do a line is, of salt.
Yeah. Ooh.
That was gross.
Well,
being and young right is, after is he did it, right after life he did it, he looked horrified. And one of his friends said, "It's up there now." Like,
we've crossed the line.
There wasn't a lot to do in Reno back then.
Yeah, it was at a pizza place.
We didn't have cell phones yet.
Just smoking herbs. Instead of talking to each other on the cell phone.
Will this work? We couldn't Google it. You know what I mean? We just had to experiment.
Yeah, of course.
Good old days. We're ruining Vince's show. Vince, what's next?
Yeah, what's next, man?
Oh, hey, you want to hear something recent?
Yeah.
Let's hear Visible Ghost Machine. The song is Through a Forest.
What do we believe in when all the world's contentious? And who do we hold true to when readily dismiss us? Dream on, this world, one day, back through the pages and nothing can dissuade us. As evidence and footage is constantly displayed to our minds. Your life, am I free from?
liked it now. Anything I stand, I can't break, can't cancel. Feeling every frame is shameless, bound all souls. Hush, now child, we trace through the miles. Ever loving mother, sons, just don't trust us. Food looking crew, recruits, they see just us. Ducking through the forest and hope they will ignore us. Almighty eyes watching while certainly dispatching. The forest and hope they will ignore us. Almighty eyes watching while suddenly dispatching. Believe in when all the world's fictitious, and who do we hold true to and readily dismiss us? Backtrack through the pages and nothing can dissuade us, and evidence and footage is constantly displayed to. Ducking through the forest and hope they will ignore us. Almighty eyes watching while suddenly dispatching.
Ghost Machine,
dude,
so good.
That was fun.
So where, and was that like at the, where were you out there?
That was last year. That was 2025.
And so that's at the store.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. At my current location.
Is that band still together?
Well, it's a guy named Brian Garland, who was working at the Trader Joe's in Carson, friend of Carolyn's, obviously, because Carolyn's works there forever. And Brian would bring in song ideas, and we would hash them out.
Man, that's fun.
And that I played bass on that tune. He played guitar and sang. And Brian Walden from Faith Re No More played drums on that.
Man, that shit's like
it was a throwback.
Some prog, like, yeah. Almost like, yeah. King Crimson meets Clutch.
Clutch, yeah. I was thinking a little bit of Clutch when I was hearing the punchy vocal style.
Yeah, yeah, that band could fit in with that lineup. A little bit of Frank Zappa.
Yeah.
Maybe. Killer.
Yeah.
Fucking cool.
Good
dude.
Stuff. Yeah. Is that available out there?
Yeah, that's on the majors. It's on Spotify and iTunes and that.
Rad.
Visible Ghost Machine.
Fucking killer.
Yeah, nice. That was great. So that was recorded at Play Your Own Music.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
And do you book like a few months out? So if anybody wanted to book with you, they better talk to you early.
Yeah. I usually got plans in the near future. So yeah, it's a good idea to book early.
Right on.
And they just call the shop.
Just call the shop.
Hell yeah.
775-885-PLAY.
Have you ever considered taking on an intern?
I have in ways before.
Rick, how would you say the experience of having interns is?
It's almost always been great. Almost always. Like 95% of the time it's been great. And when it's not great, it's usually they just stop showing up, which isn't terrible because we could do it alone. We don't need them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then a bunch of times it's been like fantastic. Like like they end up being this great person that you get to know, and like, and they become, and sometimes they become a real serious part of the show, and like, and then after a while they leave, you know, it yeah. doesn't, but it's amazing. Like, mostly. Yeah. One time one guy kind of like fucked up a mic a little bit. I haven't had a lot of bad experiences. Honestly, I haven't had like nothing bad. I've just let fucking any stranger I fucking meet come into my house for like 20 years and nothing bad has ever happened almost.
Well, a little behind the scenes, behind, what is it? Baseball.
Inside baseball.
Inside baseball. We have a new stranger in the house.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Oh, we forgot to mention.
Yeah, we did.
Should we, Patrick, introduce our new...
So I had the pleasure of meeting our new intern today. His name is Flapjacks.
Listen, Flapjacks.
It's a badass name.
And I was like, show me your fucking driver's license. And he pulled it out and it says Flapjacks on it.
It's so weird. Yeah, yeah.
That's nuts. His
parents, I think it's
his parents
because...
must have been hippies.
When he, right.
Is that well, first or last?
It's Flap... W. Jacks. So,
thank you, Rick. I spaced there for a second.
Right. And we didn't believe him until he pulled out his ID, but.
Yeah.
At least he had ID this time.
Right.
All right. New
guy. So far, he hasn't fucked anything up, I don't think.
And is Doc G still here?
Oh, yeah.
He was, but he just left. Very often, Doc G will, he's here for the setup and for getting everything ready and saying hi to everybody. And then about halfway through the show, he gets really bored and his ride gets here and he leaves.
Yep. Mm. Plus, he's probably got curfew.
I was going to ask him if he felt like, you know, he's not the low guy on the totem pole anymore.
Oh, yeah. Earlier, I saw him telling Flapjacks what to do. Yeah.
Nice.
He was like, listen, Flapjacks, moment. You got to fucking set it up this way.
Tighten up.
Don't be stupid. Yeah. So.
Let's Flapjacks, if you could come into the studio, please. I got a job for you to do, please, for me. It's just you know.
He's crossing the hall. Are we rating Patrick, him by how quickly he gets in there?
You know how it goes.
Flapjacks.
All right. I require another cup of coffee. And I like it like khaki, the color of khaki pants.
Like girls
now
wear.
There is
cream and sugar with.
There's
color
not quite
of khaki
enough
pants,
for another
please.
Cup. It'll be a less than full cup, but that's okay, right?
Yeah, that's fine. Okay.
Whatever's
that's
fine. In there.
Yes,
more cream and sugar than you would think.
Than you would think.
Thank you. Good to hear. Yeah.
Has anybody ever put too much in, Nick? I'm about to.
We shall see.
That's awesome.
No, usually they're pretty conservative, and then the second time they get it right.
Right. Well, and when you
goddamn right, they do
because it's fucking like there can't be any more than this that he wants, and then like, we bring it to you, and then you're like, nope, not enough.
It hasn't reached full saturation yet. The because you've only ever complained that it wasn't enough, right? Nobody's ever you've never taken
never
a sip
like,
and been
like,
yeah, it's
holy
never
shit.
Been too sweet yet. So we'll see how it goes today.
That's hilarious.
There's a famous Reno bass player that I think used more creamer than you did. And I never saw him putting it in, but I noticed whenever we had a session with him, the entire container of creamer would be empty.
Was his first name Adam?
Yes, it is. How did you know?
Oh.
It was
people
amazing.
Who drink their coffee like that hang out together.
Yeah.
Oh, because he's the only one that I think outdid you in the amount of creamer.
Yeah. That reminds me of the last time I was at Denny's. Where there was a guy
with that rock show?
No. I was just eating there.
Okay.
And this guy was just making a big show out of absolutely drowning his cheeseburger in hot sauce.
Ooh, yeah.
Like everybody in the restaurant knew he was like getting really emphatic. He was like using his arms and shit. And then he just walks out on his bill because his burger was too spicy.
That's weird.
Fucking crazy Denny's shit.
Yeah. Was that the Wells Denny's?
And were you were you like, dude, what the fuck?
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck? And the waiter's just like, yeah, just whatever. I work at Denny's.
You
know
you can't stay away from that place, dude.
Yeah.
The Wells Denny's was the place to go after a show, after a gig, because you could park, you could see your vehicle from your table with all your gear in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that
oh,
makes
like
sense.
Harry's,
yeah.
Harry's Watering Hole, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the spot.
When my band was touring through here, we liked the hotel right next to Denny's because we could back our van up to the
wall.
That
hotel's wild.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
But if your van was backed up to the wall, nobody could get into the
nobody
back
could
of
get
it.
Into the
that's
back.
Yeah,
the
that's a good that's
wall.
A good thing. Yeah. Yep.
But it is exactly the kind of place where your van might get robbed also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We like to live dangerously.
And did you do that back when it didn't have the lights it has now? Because now it has like the light of day. that like they put.
I don't remember it being that bright. I remember being sketched out.
It's so bright. It's like you're in the middle of the desert at high noon when you're there all the time.
Yeah.
I think bad things were happening there in the dark.
You guys ever stayed at a motel where they'd photocopy your ID to check in?
Can't remember.
No.
No.
At least they were probably sneaky about it. If you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't know. They would be like, do it under the table.
Like motels where the TV is affixed to the wall that it would be the same way that if it was in a prison.
I've been to
I've been in a couple of those.
Yeah.
That's always a fun experience.
Yeah. So that's my advice for touring bands. Stay at the second cheapest hotel in the city you're in.
All right. Let's see how you did.
All right.
Okay,
Flapjacks.
The first sip.
I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, for you, Chewy.
Yeah.
I'm going to require. Let me see how sweet it is. Hold on. The sweetness is good, but could you give me just a little more creamer in there, please?
Oh, I'm so sorry. He didn't know that it's the powdered stuff on the counter.
There's some powdered creamer on the counter.
On the counter next to the coffee maker.
Thanks, Flapjacks.
You're welcome.
He was given no, like, this is where the coffee stuff is talk at all.
Oops.
Yeah, he did pretty good for that.
Whose fault is that? Who's training him?
Doc G.
Yeah. Doc G. If he was
no
here,
gold stars today.
Right, sorry.
Gold stars for Flapjack for trying. So he didn't get it on the first try, but that's okay.
And you just had kind of oat milk.
That's kind of on us, though.
He was looking for creamer. I think that's fancier. He doesn't realize how low rent we are.
Yeah. That's okay.
He'll learn.
So, Vince, we got a few more songs. We better do this.
Yeah.
A
couple more. Yeah, we should hear George's tune. This is
George.
Georgia Maestro.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Georgia Maestro. Nice. What was that? What box?
Pushbox.
Pushbox. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. I was the hammer box, candle box, push box. There's a lot of box bands, so I... Rhiannon box, you know.
Yeah, there's no shortage of boxes.
It's a grip of boxes.
You are an innocent. You are an innocent. You are an innocent.
Can you hear him in your bones? His haunting voice, his eerie tones. Without a care, oblivious and unaware. You thought that you'd avoid your fate. Kept him at a fiery gate. But your resistance is spent. You are an innocent. Until proven worthy. You kept him in a
That was fucking crazy. What
Georgia.
You
were
saying?
I miss Georgia.
It was, 3 or 4 years ago.
Okay.
Nice. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounded great.
Thanks.
That was really fun.
Georgia was a ray of sunshine around the city for a long time.
Yeah.
What happened to Georgia?
We miss her. She moved to Virginia.
Moved back east, yep.
Oh, bummer.
She was a great singer and a great lady. Damn good bartender.
Damn good bartender.
Yep.
Yeah. That was a fun tune. That was the lyrics were actually written by a guy named Scott Young for that song was a theme song to a radio show that was happening on I forget the name of the radio show, but it was a radio drama.
Oh, cool.
And they needed a theme song, so they gave Georgia just lyrics, and Georgia wrote that arrangement. That was her arrangement 100%, and her playing piano on it. And then played guitars. Ivan played bass on that. My daughter Samantha played some synthesizers on
nice.
It.
Nice.
Oh, no wonder.
Yeah, great team.
Yeah, it's really cool. It had like hints of Susie in there too. Like,
Totally.
It felt like a Susie song a little bit. Let's keep on trucking. What's the next song, Vince?
No, there's only one more song. Yeah, we're not going to do that.
What? Okay.
We're not going to do that one. That one that disappeared earlier, that one's shouldn't be on that list.
And so this is what I think of it. You brought a song that you yourself.
Yeah, I've been working on this song for 7 years now.
Oh, wow. And so you're going to debut it.
Yeah, I'm getting it off my hard drive and onto it's on Bandcamp.
Nice.
So this is its official release.
Fuck yeah, dude. Thank you.
Cool. Premiere.
Yeah.
Exclusive. A little podcast exclusive. All right, you guys. Well, before we do you want to say something
about
that
it?
Song before we hit the road? Because we're going to say
called?
Goodbye and then listen to the song.
Yeah. Well, the song's called Place Your Bet. And I wrote the lyrics. I went to George Picard's birthday party 1 year. And I wrote the lyrics the next morning. And then the chorus came to me like a year later.
Oh, wow.
Which is silly. but that's, my writing process is really slow disorganized. But there's about, I think there's 8 musicians on this tune, it's a song for Reno.
Perfect.
Thank you so much for bringing it on to show us.
Yeah,
it's been a great hang, Vince.
Thanks for bringing
that music in. Let it breathe a little bit.
And where can we see you again?
Your shows are coming up.
The Floyd is playing the Carson Community Center Theater April 10th and 11th. Don't miss it. We got lasers this year.
Oh, nice. Hell yeah.
And when you're not doing that, you will be a play your own music person.
Play your own music fixing guitars.
Cool.
All right. Cool. So, you say this song is going to be on a Bandcamp situation? So
it already is.
It's okay. Right. And what's that?
So it's under Vincent Gates.
Yep, Vincent Gates.
Great.
Yeah. All right. Vince Gates, thank you for being here. Chewbacca, Patrick, Rick. Thanks for being here today.
You're the best, Nick.
Flapjacks, thanks for being here. Doc G out there, thanks for being here. And Cadillac Kim, we miss you. And for the Reverend Rory Dowd and the Lord Strice, I am Nick Ramirez saying life is short and we love you. Thanks for listening. Happy birthday, Pauline.
On the worst little podcast, we're talking out of our ass. Stars are out tonight under the big little big city light, between the angels and fallen satellites,
where we reside. Won't you come inside? Bring us a song. We'll try to sing along. Does anyone have a tune for a friend? Will is weak and the need seems so dire. What's another sin? I hear it coming in. Our next descent. A sweet new lament. Maybe there's hope for some of us yet. Place your bet. Your best.